Welcome to Country Fried Rock. I'm your host, Sloane Spencer. This week, I'm talking with the Bones of J.R. Jones, a moniker for a sometimes solo artist, sometimes band, with a great blues-inspired record called Dark Was the Yearling. You'll have to hear how J.R. hooked up with somebody who helped make his first record possible. It's a great story from what could have been a terrible gig. Today on Country Fried Rock, it's the Bones of J.R. Jones. If you like eavesdropping on these musician conversations, tell a friend. We appreciate you. My guest today is the Bones of J.R. Jones, who I'll refer to as J.R. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Sloane.
So this is one of those records that I ran across kind of through friends of friends, and then it was like I just didn't follow up, so my fault. But let's go back to the beginning, because I don't know a whole lot about how you got into where you are now. How did Bones of J.R. Jones develop?
It kind of happened organically, I guess is the best way to describe it. I've been playing music all my life, got turned on to the blues pretty happily probably about 15 years ago now. But I guess I didn't really pursue it until I was living up in the Catskills kind of by myself and had some free time on my hands. Kind of developed this project that I'm working on now, the Bones of J.R. Jones.
What kind of blues spoke to you?
Definitely like old time, like roots blues, I guess, much as I love modern stuff or contemporary Egypt blues. You know, I was given a 4-disc set called American Roots Music, and was Lion Lemon Jefferson and Son House, that Delta blues, you know, slightly out of tune, off tempo type blues. And what spoke to me, that echoed with me for some reason, you know, and I think part of it was just these guys who had very little training, but the passion is what carried the music for me. Kind of changed my life, I guess.
That is a similar way to which I discovered a lot of music. Box sets, compilations.
Oh, yeah.
Know, greatest hits records, even.
I wish I could say that I was some sort of audiophile, you know, or something like that. I know what I love, and the compilations are good for me to reach out and see what else is out there, you know.
Underappreciated method of music discovery.
For sure.
Cool. So you've kind of been rooting around in this for a while. What ultimately led you up to recording?
A happy coincidence, I guess. Living up in the Catskills for a while, moved back down to New York City after finishing some schooling up there, and would do these shows once in a month or once every 2 months. And by chance, I got a show back up in the Catskills on one random Wednesday night, and I almost didn't go just because, you know, it was rainy. I think it was the middle of March, kind of very similar to today. I didn't want to drive all that there, but anyways, I ended up doing it, missing myself to get on the road and get up there and play this little show. And one of those stories where you say you should never turn down a show, no matter how small the room, I guess. And I played for a room of maybe 5 people, and one of them took me aside after the show and was very kind enough to say, you know, he's like, I have a little money and I'd like to put out your first album for you. So totally unexpected. And then, you know, within a year, my first EP was out thanks to this amazingly generous gentleman, motivated me and gathered momentum for the next one, I guess.
That's fantastic. How great to like unexpectedly find a benefactor like that.
Oh, it was, it's not heavy-handed to say it was life-changing, I guess, you know, so it was something unexpected.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloane Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. We've had an incredible year with more people finding us on the radio and our podcast than we ever imagined. Thank you all so much. Careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
Hey, this is the Bones of J.R. Jones on Country Fried Rock.
You put out the EP, and then what continued to develop for you?
Just kind of a one-man operation, so to speak. So I didn't really know what to do with it. Tried to play as many shows as I could and garner some press. Like, one thing led to another. The next step would have been that I hooked up with a small licensing agency called 5-4 Music. That put a little more gas in my tank, so to speak. They've been amazing, put me in touch with a lot of producers, and motivated me to record as much as possible. So it's just growing slowly as that, but they've been definitely the catalyst for the next stage, for the full length, absolutely.
Cool. So is that how you ended up having a song in the TV show?
Yes. Yeah. I've been very fortunate. They've done good by me. I've been working with them for maybe almost 2 years now. I've had a couple of placements in TV shows and commercials, and did a theme song for Nat Geo, and it's nice to know that I can kind of make a living doing this, I guess. Just going out and meeting people and trusting people that know the business, I guess, is the best way to say it. Letting them help them guide you, I guess.
You've had these interesting and wonderfully supportive things going on in the background. What were the details of getting the songs ready that became Dark Was the Yearling?
It was definitely a slow process, and I was trying to do it. The first EP was just me gathering the 7 strongest songs I had at the time and just trying to lay them down as quickly as possible. This one, I was working with a producer, Charles Newman, and kind of just a one-man operation. I didn't have much money, so we were trying to, like, basically do a lot of pre-production stuff, which took 2 months or so. And we basically only reserved a studio for 2 days, got into the studio. We basically prepare 6 songs for 2 to 3 months and then go into the studio for about 10 hours and record those 6 months live as best we could and then do the next 6 songs for the next 3 months and go into the studio for another 10 hours. It was nice to have an extra hand to help me, guide me through the process because it was the first time I ever really had to do anything like that. I really, really edit out the weaker songs. The weaker links, I guess. I feel like, you know, full lengths, and this is my personal taste. I always feel like brevity is very strong. I've been feeling things that are long-winded. I'd love to have a 10-song full length that's just 10 songs with great stuff as opposed to like 15 songs of just okay material.
So how did you and Charles Newman connect?
Again, you know, it was a licensing company, Platform Music, just up together. They've worked with him through the years, and we both happen to live on the East Coast in New York, met up and kind of just hit it off, and he's a very chill guy, and in terms of music sensibilities, I think we come from different backgrounds completely. You know, he doesn't really have much experience in the blues, at least the genre, as far as I see it, I guess. It was really kind of nice to bounce some ideas off a sounding board with a different, that has a different perspective all across the board. Definitely challenged me in ways and pushed the album in a direction that I probably wouldn't have taken it by myself, but I'm definitely happy with the outcome. I think a collaboration for sure is like, it's a give and take and it's a compromise. I hope the best thing kind of boils to the surface after banging on it hard enough.
So what studio did you all go to?
Well, we went to one here in Brooklyn called The Bunker. I think they have 2 or 3 rooms in their little space in East Williamsburg here. And we were only in there 2 days total, but it was this huge, gorgeous room and, you know, vaulted ceilings and stuff like that. Something, as opposed to my first album where I was basically recorded in an apartment somewhere, you know, this was definitely more intimidating for me to feel like I had to get it right this time or it wasn't going to happen again.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloan Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. Those of y'all who listen on our podcast, it's a quick hit of Just the Conversation. If you want the full radio program with all the songs that we talk about, ask for it on your local radio station. Joining 20 other stations across the country. Get the goods at countryfriedrock.org.
Hey, this is the Bones of J.R. Jones on Country Fried Rock. You can find my music and all my happenings on thebonesofjrjones.com.
You all basically went in at 2 chunks of time and got everything laid down live. Then what happened with the songs? Like, did you add layers and how did that happen?
Yeah, we definitely did. We did as much pre-production before going into the studio as possible. So like just like mapping out arrangement and structure going in. And then I hired kind of a session musician, a bass player named Matt. And he came in and laid down the bass lines for me. And then my live show is basically a kick drum, a hi-hat, and me with a guitar or a banjo. And so we tried to do as much of that as possible, straight to tape, I guess. Having that energy as opposed to like multi-tracking and laying things, like, you know, you lose a little bit of that ambiance. We basically did almost everything live, and then definitely, like, you know, we went back in and added some accents to it, you know, maybe a violin here or there, or, you know, some drums and stuff.
Who mixed it for you?
Charles did the mixing, I guess. We mastered it with a guy named Donna Virginia Tone Masters. There's a learning curve to it, and I'm still learning for sure. You know, I've never been technically gifted. You contact these vinyl companies and you get quotes and stuff like that, but there's a whole level of files that you need to get over there, and, you know, they need to create the hardware to press the vinyl and stuff like that. But it's a lot of fun. Like, you know, to order a vinyl, and then, like, you know, a month in, you'll get the test pressing, and you get to listen to, like, 6 different versions of it, and that's where the master's from there. It's a lot of fun.
Where did you end up having that vinyl pressed?
This last one, I used a company out in Cleveland called Gotta Groove Records. They were great. They do a lot of very responsive, and I placed my order, and, like, within 10 minutes, I got an email and a phone call from the guy just, you know, walking me through it, make sure everything was correct. It was a good experience for sure.
I'm of that era where I still like physical product related to music, and vinyl has been a great way to have that happen. What did you do in order to work on both the artwork and the rest of the physical experience with the vinyl?
I did all the artwork for it. My background's in printmaking and fine arts and stuff like that. So I try to do as much of that as I can. I really enjoy that, I guess. And so with that in mind, I guess it's like going into a candy store when you see what the possibilities are in terms of pressing, you know, in terms of like embossing them or getting like gold inlay, or if you're a fan of Jack White, the stuff that he does with his records, or, you know, it's such an experience just to buy one of those things. But unfortunately, my budget, my overhead is, I can't afford something like that. So I try to make it as personal as possible. You know, like this last one I did was a small pressing, and in the sleeve, I made sure that everybody knew that it was kind of this one-off special thing, and what they're getting is one of 300 only. Because of the way like mass marketing is these days, you know, you want to try to contact somebody or touch somebody in an individual and not just have them feel that they're just one of many. Trying to do that on a budget is tricky, but yeah, you do what you can, I guess.
I'm your host, Sloan Spencer. You can keep in touch with us on Facebook, but I really like Twitter, where we are at Country Fried Rock, ending with R-O-K. And if you want to see pictures of my shoes, my dog, and my lunch, stop by Instagram. But whatever way you like to hang out, stop by and say hey.
Hey, this is the Bones of J.R. Jones on Country Fried Rock. The album's called Dark Was the Yearling, and you can find it on Bandcamp.com.
And so without physical distribution in place through a larger company, how are you selling these to people?
I'm selling these through Bandcamp.
Bandcamp
rules. Which is kind of a cool little site. Yeah, I actually just got back from the post office. I sent that about 7 or so this morning. It's time consuming, and the curse and the blessing of it is that it's taking up more and more of my time to package this stuff. I don't know. I don't know when the next step's going to happen. Maybe I'll have to hire somebody to help.
We use Bandcamp for our charity compilations that we do.
Oh, great.
They just announced a huge, like 30% increase in physical product sales over the last year, even though the overall record industry has gone down 11% in sales. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It's a great business model. And I think it's from a small-time artist like myself, I enjoy interacting with them. Their emails, I always have a nice energy to them. And I feel like their heads or their hearts are in the right spot with a lot of what they're doing. So I like working with Bandcamp.
I don't work for them. I use them as a service just like anybody else. So just
yeah.
What have you been doing with these songs live since the record came out?
I'm always trying to grow, and I've been doing this one-man band thing for a while now. I'm going to be going on tour here through April and May, trying to keep it small, but I'll be traveling by myself with a kick drum and a hi-hat and traveling to the Southeast and Midwest, and I'll be playing. I feel a little more confident in my skin, I guess, and so when I play live these days, I've been trying a lot of stuff, trying to make as much noise as possible, I guess, on stage with being just one person. I'm really excited about it. I've been on the road a number of times, but this is definitely, I think I'm out for almost 4 weeks this time and not traveling with another band. So it's, I'm sure it'll be lonely at times. I like kind of doing it this way. I'll bring my tent and some camping gear and camp when it's warm enough and make the best out of it.
Let's talk a little bit about camping. What's your setup? What do you like to do?
Well, I love camping, but unfortunately, when it comes to touring, I usually try to camp when I tour just because it keeps things cheaper and it gives me a chance to be outside. Me traveling by myself, I'm stuck in a car sometimes driving for 6 to 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me a chance to kind of get out, stretch my legs, so to speak. But, unfortunately, the downside of that, it's pretty much car camping, which is nice. Sometimes,
sure.
But if I was to do it without tour, I would definitely stay off the beaten path and get lost in the woods for a little bit. And I went on tour last summer and drove across country and I camped along the way, which was wonderful. And the tour happened to be down the West Coast with a band called Goodnight Texas, and camping in Big Sur, which was amazing. Camping along the Pacific Coast Highway is, I think everybody needs to do it at some point in their life. Just the views are spectacular. Something that's on my bucket list is to hike the Appalachian Trail. So I want to start south and see the country down there more.
Sounds like it's going to be an action-packed late spring for you going on tour. What else is going on?
I'm trying to figure that out right now. I'm kind of writing the next album, I guess. I have definitely more than enough songs right now. And right now I'm just trying to edit them out and figure out the ones that work and which ones don't. And that's the nice thing about the tour. I'm sure I'll be playing a lot of new stuff. Maybe some of it will be a disaster and maybe some of it will be great. So after the tour, I want to try to look ahead and try to get back into the studio as soon as possible, I think.
You said that this time you're going to be hitting the road solo, not partnering up with another band. You had previously partnered up with Goodnight Texas. Have there been other bands that you have connected with either on a scheduled tour or just opening for one another?
Goodnight Texas, I did a West Coast tour with them and I did an East Coast tour with them. For some reason, we always end up on the same level, we're always working together, which is great. They're wonderful guys. Beyond that, I usually tour through the Northeast with a fellow Brooklyn musician, Milena Cadiz. We both do a solo thing, so it's nice to have some company in the car. We can both travel. We can rent a car and not have to worry about a van or anything like that. Usually the people I tour with are kind of low maintenance like myself, I guess. Melanie's an amazing act. She's got a wonderful voice. She just put on an album, I want to say, last fall. She's a great artist.
Safe travels to you. Looking forward to catching some of it as you head down in our direction through the springtime.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it.
Be well. Take care.
Yeah, take care, Sloan. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
CountryFriedRock.org. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Our 2015 bed music is from Drivin' and Cryin's debut album, Scarred But Smarter. Got a great band you want to hear on Country Fried Rock? The best thing to do is tweet us at Country Fried Rock. That's Country Fried, R-O-K.
You can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. Just search Country Fried Rock. Country Fried Rock radio programs are distributed to public radio through the Public Radio Exchange. PRX.org. Our Country Fried Rock stinger is from Steve Soto and the Twisted Hearts.
Ever he been helping us from Country Fried Rock?
Hey, y'all, it's Sloan Spencer. Thanks so much for finding all these new old episodes of Country Fried Rock. I've got something completely different available these days called Sleep with Rock Stars. And it all started from a listener comment back in the very early days of Country Fried Rock who said, you know, I slow these down to 75% and fall asleep to them. And I was like, well, over the years, I started thinking about it, and I recently started Sleep with Rock Stars. It's the Gen X Sleep Podcast, and you can find it at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.